Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can contain the tongue. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So that's God's word to us this morning. Let me pray for Neil before he comes. Father, we commit Neil to you now as he comes to bring your word to us. We thank you for all his preparation. Thank you for the way you've inspired him already, Lord, and we pray that you give us listening ears to deeply hear and deeply understand and to deeply put into practice what you have in store for us through this word to us, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There we go, Neil. Thank you. Bless you, Bob.
Good morning. Somebody said to me, so how did you get the honour of coming to speak here? And it is a real honour to be here. So thank you for having me at Bow Baptist Churches. And coming out in the rain to come and hear God's word. So may God bless you for doing that this morning. And thank you, Ollie, for letting me have your pulpit. It's great that you're having this time of rest at this time. So pray for your pastor. It's not easy being a pastor. You've been here 21 years, I think. So pray for him and encourage him wherever you can. Be really helpful to me if you could have that page 1214, James chapter 3, open in front of you. Make sure that what I'm saying is coming from God's word. The two famous preachers with amazing tongues. One was called Billy and one was called Jim. Now, Billy spoke in 185 countries to 2.2 billion people, heard him preach over the years. And apparently 2.2 million people gave their lives to Christ. Of course, I'm talking about Billy Graham, a man with a silver tongue that was greatly gifted by God to the salvation of many people. You might have heard him yourself. I'll tell you about another preacher, a guy called Jim, not quite as famous. And he was a good guy in some ways because he promoted racial equality in the 1970s in America, where there was not a lot of racial equality at that time, and his church was like this church here, very multicultural, a bit like a foretaste of heaven. But then he started to say that he was the reincarnation of Gandhi, Jesus, and Buddha. And he took about 1,000 people down to the Amazon, to a country called Guyana, and he built a town named after himself called Jonestown, And in 1978, he got his whole congregation, nearly 1,000 people, it was 918 people that ended up dying, to drink this thing called Flavor Aid, which is a bit like Lucozade. But the problem was that he mixed it with cyanide, which is a drug, and it poisoned all of them. 918 people died, including 304 children. It was actually Jim's lying tongue that destroyed these people. Even before the cyanide did, it was his lies that had taken him down to the Amazonian jungle to be destroyed there, because he was a false prophet. Billy and Jim, the power of the tongue. The tongue is the most powerful organ in your body, isn't it? If you think about it. The more you say to people, the bigger the impact your tongue is going to have on their lives, for good or for evil. The book of Proverbs says, the tongue has the power of life and death, isn't it? And is that saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? It's rubbish, isn't it? Because words do an incredible impact. If you think about the impact of Adolf Hitler, you know, or Barack Obama, these great speakers. So that's why it says in verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So pray for us that teach. What's the hardest aspect of your life to control? Is it your finances? Is it your diet? Is it your thoughts? Before you even know it, you've had a greedy thought or an envious thought or an unkind thought. Actually, the Bible says the hardest thing to control is your tongue. Look at verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. In other words, if you can control your tongue, you can control everything else. Your tongue is so out of control that if you could just get that one little bit under control, then everything else would flow from it. So the tongue is so important, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. Just that one thing this morning, taming your tongue. Are you going to tame your tongue? This is a message for me, because I'm a talkative person, but even if you're a quiet person, the few words that you do say, are they under control? Are you going to tame your tongue? And I've got three headlines for you this morning. Tame your tongue, not boasting, but humble. Not boasting, but humble. Secondly, not destructive, but constructive. And thirdly, not cursing, but praising. Not cursing, but praising. So firstly, let's look at not boasting, but humble tongues. Not boasting, but humble tongues. And James gives us two illustrations here that we can look at. And the first illustration is in verse 3 about a bit that turns a horse's mouth. And I don't know if you go horse riding, but they have these little bits that they put in the horse's mouth. Like that, and you pull the reins and it turns the horse's head and the horse goes in the direction wherever you move the bit. And these bits, they're only about the size of like one of those plastic rulers you get when you go to school. You know those little plastic rulers? About that big. And then the horse, of course, is about 2.5 meters. So this bit controls something that's 16 times the length of itself. And the other illustration James uses here is about a rudder for a ship. And I was looking at the biggest ship that's ever been built. And its name is the Seawise Giant, right? And when you fully load this ship, it takes 750,000 tons of weight. It was actually sunk during the war, and it was such an important ship, they actually brought it off the ocean bed and resurrected it. But the rudder itself, the ship is 3,000 times heavier than the rudder. So the rudder is quite big, but compared to the ship, it's tiny. And James is saying, your tongue is like a bit for a horse or a rudder for a ship. It might be quite small compared to the rest of your body, but it has a huge impact, and it kind of directs the whole way that your life goes. Just to give you an example from the Bible of King Nebuchadnezzar. Have you heard of him? King Nebuchadnezzar. And one day he was out on his roof of his palace and he was looking at his whole kingdom and he said, boasting, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" And even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You'll be driven away from your people and live with the wild animals. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. And so Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was so high and mighty, ended up eating grass like a cow. And his hair grew so long it was like feathers covering his body. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone with hair that's so long, it's like feathers covering his body. And his nails grew like the talons of one of these wild birds, you know. And after 7 years, God restored him and put him back on his throne. And he said, do you know what? Let's be humble. God is God. And the only reason I'm on my throne is because the sovereign God, Yahweh, has given me my throne. And he learnt not to have a boasting tongue, but a humble tongue, even the great King Nebuchadnezzar. If you look across at chapter 4, and you can see that little bit that sticks out on its own, chapter 4, verse 6. Look at what it says about boasting. See what it says? God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Do you want God to oppose you this week? I don't. If God opposes me, I'm in a lot of trouble. I want God to show me favor. How do I get God to show me favor? I have a humble tongue, not a boastful. If I have a boastful tongue, I'm basically inviting God to give me a kicking. I'm not saying you end up eating grass like a cow, but something pretty not great might happen to you. And one person put it this way. If you show off, do not get upset when God doesn't show up. If you show off, don't be upset when God doesn't show up. And it's true. If you're not prepared to give God the glory, he's not going to show up in your life and give you the favor that you need. Let me give you some practical examples of taming the tongue to be not boastful, but humble. Some young people here today, when you use your phone, and older people, when you use your phone or your tablet or your computer, and you're going to send a message or post something on social media, like a photograph or a selfie, doing those faces, is it because you're like, you don't have as many double chins, you know, up like that? When you're going to do that, or put a video, you're going to repost a video that someone else has put on Facebook or whatever, or Instagram or Snapchat. I've heard of these things. Think before you speak, right? Think before you speak. And think stands for, is it true? Is it humble? Is it inspirational? Is it necessary and is it kind? Is it true? T for true. Is it H for humble? Is it I for inspirational? Is it N for necessary and K for kind? So before you post something or send a message to somebody, what's that message? Think, do I need to say that to this person? Or is it just because I get a bit annoyed and I want to say something? I want to complain. Is it kind to that person to say that thing? Is it humble or am I giving glory to myself? Is it true? Is it inspirational? So think before you post. Think before you speak. And another good example of when we can avoid being boastful is when you're telling a story about something that happened to you in your week. And are you going to make yourself the hero of the story? Or are you going to give the glory to God? It's very easy to do it. Even yesterday, I bragged to my cousins because I'd done well in my fantasy football team. And I thought, I'm preaching on this tomorrow. You know, I'm already getting it wrong, you know. I'm already getting it wrong. Are you the hero of your story or is Jesus the hero? When you pass an exam, and some of you guys maybe have exams, some people you know had their A-levels this week, GCSEs coming up this coming week, how do you put about it on Facebook? Do you say, look at me, I got nine level nines or whatever it is, or do you say, I thank God for helping me through my exams? There's a difference, isn't it? Whether you give the glory to him or whether you take the glory for yourself. Not boasting, but humble tongues. When you sing or play an instrument, and you're praying and singing to God, are you thinking, oh, my voice sounds good today? Or is it because you truly want to magnify God and give him the pleasure of being lifted up in your praises? So that's the first thought about taming your tongue, is not to be boastful, but to be humble, and therefore to receive the favor of God. That's the first point. The second point is not to be destructive, but constructive. And James carries on with his wonderful pictures that he has in verse 5 and 6. And the image that he has in verse 5 is a small spark setting off a huge forest fire. And I was thinking, yeah, but is this true? And I looked it up on Google, as you do. And apparently last year in California, they had the largest wildfire they've ever had in the history of that state. More than 600 square miles of land. That's an awful lot of land, isn't it? It's like the whole of Greater London, really. Maybe. It was burnt up. And you know why it was burnt up? Because this guy found a nest of wasps, yeah? And what he did was he got a metal stake with a metal hammer and he drove the stake into the nest of wasps with this metal hammer. And in hitting that metal on the metal, it caused a spark that devastated California 600 square miles. One little spark. And James says, your tongue's like that. That is your tongue. A tiny little spark that creates a Californian wildfire. Because it's a small thing that you might say, but it might lead to devastating results. You might think it's just a small lie that I tell, but in the outcome of it, the consequences of it are severe. The other example that he uses is of a venomous snake. He says in verse 7, he says, all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles have been tamed. Verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. I found out the most deadly snake in the world is called the inland taipan. It's in Australia. We've got someone here from New Zealand, but that's not. I don't think they have as many snakes in New Zealand. Australia's a lot worse. And it has the most toxic venom in the world. Apparently this snake has enough poison in its bite to kill 100 grown adult men. Just one bite. And also it will strike you multiple times in the same attack. So maybe if you want to be safe, don't go to Australia. See, your tongue is like that. It can be very poisonous. It can be very poisonous. So sometimes you don't even mean to be destructive, but I'll give you an example from my own life. I'll give you two examples, actually, from when I was a teenager. So obviously it stays with me because I realised how destructive it was. When I was in my youth group when I was a teenager, which is 100 years ago, and there was a girl in my youth group, and she was slightly overweight. And she said, you know, I'm going to come and get you. I don't know, we were having some kind of banter. This is very lighthearted. And I said, oh no, to be crushed by you would be a fate worse than death. I really, really upset her, you know. I mean, but for me, I was just making a joke. But she was so upset with me, she didn't speak to me for weeks, you know. Because it was a sensitive issue for her, right? You got that was a tiny little spark, but it created a lot of destruction in her life. She was so unhappy about that, right? And I didn't need to say that, did I? I should have thought before I spoke. A more serious example, when I was in my late teens, somebody told me a secret about something very sensitive in their family life. And then I started having an argument with that person a couple of weeks later, and I brought out that secret and I used it against him in the argument. And it was actually a young lady, and she started beating me up with her fists. She started punching me in the face. And then she got me on the floor and she bit my leg. I'm not even kidding. And you know, the whole time that I was being beaten up by this young girl, you know, she was smaller than me, I was thinking, I deserve this. Because she told me something very sensitive and very personal to herself that was made her very vulnerable, and I used it against her. So the thing is, it's a very small spark or a very small bite, and then it turns and it poisons the whole body, or it sets the whole forest on fire. Before you're going to say something, stop and think before you speak. Why are you going to say this thing? Is it because, for example, if you're speaking about somebody and they're not in the room, have you ever done that when you're having a conversation about someone and they're not present? So you're talking to person A about person B, yeah? And you're about to say something negative about the other person who's absent. Why are you doing that? Is it to gossip? Is it because you want to bring that person down in the person who you're with, the estimation? Or is it because you want to say something constructive because you're concerned about them? Let's say they've started drinking heavily. So it's like, hey, have you seen how much they've been drinking recently? Why are you telling them that? Is it because you want to pray together about it because you're concerned, or is it because you secretly want to take that person down? So I'm not saying that we should never say negative things, but why are we saying them and how are we saying them? And can we think about the effect of what we say before we say it? And that's what James is saying. It's a tiny little spark and it creates a terrible devastation. Like I said, the examples I gave you, they were more than a couple of decades ago, and they're still haunting me now because I realize the damage that I did for my tongue. So if you're a teenager here this morning, you can do a lot of damage. Even if you tell your parents you hate them, for example. You might not hate them, but they might have taken your Xbox off you or something. Yeah? But maybe your parents take it to heart. You know, some of the things that we say, they can last for a lifetime. What are you going to do today to keep your tongue, not to be destructive, to be constructive? When you tease people, are they enjoying it? Or are they feeling hurt because you're picking on them for an aspect that they feel sensitive about? Maybe you think it's fun. Maybe other people in the room think it's funny. But maybe they're really hurting about the fact that you're picking on their weight or their appearance in some way or something about them. Maybe their speech. Be careful what you say at the expense of other people. Let's ask God to help us to tame our tongues, not to be destructive, but to be constructive today. And finally, this morning, not cursing, but praising. And James is really interested in consistency. Are you a consistent speaker? And he talks about, he gives two more illustrations in verses 9 to 12. And the first illustration is about a spring that has both salty and fresh water. Imagine it's a really hot day. You know, maybe you've been kicking a football around, been playing outside or whatever, doing something strenuous, or gone for a run, or gone to the gym. And you get home and you can't wait to get some water. And you pour the water and you drink this glass of water. Oh, lovely fresh water. I feel better. But you're still thirsty. So you turn the tap on. And you get some more water. Oh, that's disgusting. It's like drinking water out of the sea. Salty water. Can you imagine having a tap that had both pure and salty water coming out of it? That would be a very strange tap. Another example he uses would be like if you had an apple tree in your garden and you go out every day and you pick apples off the tree and then you go out one morning and you see a banana hanging from your apple tree. I would think it would be some big slug or something or an alien. I'd be like, Mom, there's a banana on the apple tree, you know. What's that doing there? It's incongruent. It's inconsistent. It shouldn't be there. And that's what it's like with our tongues. We're very inconsistent because out of the same tongue, James says, verse 10, come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Now, for example, we've already sang four songs here this morning. Praise you, God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We sing songs to God. But what was it like on your journey to church? Have you ever been in a situation where you've been driving to church or you've been on a public transport and you've been moaning and complaining about people in your car? Like, oh, can you just be quiet, please? I'm trying to drive here, you know? Oh, can you hurry up, Dad? I need to get, you know, and we argue and we complain on the way to church. Oh, do we have to really stay after a cup of tea? I want to go home. And we complain and we argue. We've got two people looking at each other there, you know. We're all guilty of it, right? Or you get on the tube and you're like, oh, can you please hurry up and get on the tube, please? You know, somebody's a bit overweight and they've got all these bags and they're getting on really slowly. And you're saying, I need to get to church, you know. And then after the church, you're like, oh, why do you have to hang around? I want to get home. Or, you know, I don't want to talk to that person. I just find them a bit annoying. I find them a bit awkward, a bit smelly. You know? And you say, praise you, Jesus. Oh, what is she wearing over there? Hallelujah. I hope that weird guy doesn't talk to me afterwards. He's so weird. Love you, Lord. Oh, okay, I've done my church bit, and I can't wait to get away from these oddballs. You see, it's very inconsistent. It's like salty water and fresh water out of the same tap, isn't it? How dare we sing the songs to God and then be thinking nasty thoughts about people in the room? Can't do that. And what a blessing it is to live in London in the 21st century. I love it. I can see you already, like, your faces are so different. You know, so many different colours in God's sort of confetti, you know? It's wonderful. I love it. If we did a kind of survey about different nationalities, I'm sure that we would have at least 15 different ethnic backgrounds here this morning. And I think that's fantastic. You know, so we should be celebrating the kingdom of God amongst us, isn't it? But instead we're looking at differences. Ooh, a little bit different. Ooh, you know? And we praise you, God, but I don't like them, you know? What's going on with that, you know? Go home and start, you know, saying, ooh. You know, the pastor, you know, he went on a bit. Like the guy leading the service, I didn't really like his shirt. You know, what are we doing? And James is saying the same thing. Verse 10, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. So let's ask God this week to be consistent. That if we're going to praise him, we should also praise others and bless others. We can't praise him and curse others at the same time. Taming your tongue. What will you do even after the service today with your tongue to be a blessing to the others around you after you've sung the last song to God so that you're not inconsistently doing one thing to God and something to somebody else? Let me finish by looking at verse 2 again. We all stumble in many ways. That's true, isn't it? I've already stumbled today. Have you stumbled today already? Oh, it's so hard, isn't it? So hard. I tell you what, it's hard being a preacher because when you get up, you just have this voice in your head going, hey, man, you've already sinned. How can you even preach? We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect. Who does that make you think of? Only one person, right? Who's never in fault of what he said. Jesus Christ. James's brother. James was his little brother. Did you know that? James was Jesus' little brother. And he's really talking about his big brother. Jesus' tongue, remember my first point? Was never boastful, always humble. Do you remember that the devil tried to give him all the kingdoms of the world and Jesus said no? Do you remember that the people tried to make him king by force and Jesus said no? That when he went into Jerusalem, he didn't go in there going, yeah, check me out, selfie. He went in on a donkey. Do you remember that Jesus was falsely accused and he had an opportunity to tell the whole world that he was the King of Glory and he didn't say anything? He was humble, like a sheep going to a slaughter. You know why Jesus said nothing? Because if he'd said anything, then he wouldn't have died on the cross and then we would all be going to hell. Jesus' humility led him to silence. He was completely silent and he allowed himself to be killed because of our sinful tongues. To pay the price, have you asked him to forgive you? Have you received Christ? Jesus' tongue was never destructive. It was always constructive. He never retaliated. Do you retaliate if someone cusses you down? Do you cuss them right back? If someone makes a rude gesture to you, do you make a rude gesture back on the roads? The only time that Jesus spoke fiercely was to defend his father's honour. My father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer and you made it a den of robbers. But you notice he wasn't defending himself and he wasn't destroying people. He was destroying false behaviours so as to uphold those people, so as to bring them into the way of truth. Jesus always tore down lies. He tore down hypocrisy, but he never tore down people. And you could do the same. You've got to fight against error. Fight against hypocrisy. Fight against lies. There's many lies in this world. The world is going crazy right now. We've got to speak against it. We've got to speak against the murder of the unborn child. 800 children in this country are being aborted every single working day. We've got to speak against the confusion and the madness of gender, for example. And children being taught this in schools, that, you know, you can explore all these different things. That's not healthy for them. But we can do it in a way that is loving and constructive. Without judging any individual. Without judging any individual. Because Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through me the world might be saved. So we're not here to judge people, but we are here to expose lies and bring down error. Why? So people can see Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus' tongue, he never praised God and then said, I hate you idiots. He praised God and he looked after the vulnerable, the poor. He said, let the little children come to me. He warned people with tears, but he never hated them. He never cursed them. He was never sarcastic. He never retaliated. Not boastful, but humble. Not destructive, but constructive. And not cursing, but praising. You might say, well, I'm not Jesus. I need to be a bit sarcastic sometimes. I've got to get it off my chest. I've got to have a rant. Listen, believer, if you are in Christ this morning, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, don't you? Amen? You have the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living in you. And therefore, stop saying I'm not Jesus. It's true that verse 10 says, verse 8 says, no one can tame the tongue. But Jesus can tame the tongue. And if Jesus lives in you, he can tame your tongue. Yes? So let's expect some victory over our tongues this week. And if you're not a believer this morning, then you're onto a losing battle. You can't tame your tongue. That's what it says. Verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. You need divine intervention. So one very good reason to come to Christ this morning for the first time, if you're not a believer, is so you can get a control over your tongue. If you know that you sin with your lips and you say bad things and you swear and you lie and you gossip and you do badness with your tongue and you don't like it anymore, you need to come to Jesus today. And those of us who already know Jesus, we need to remember that on our own strength, our tongue is going to run away with us and we need to ask for the Holy Spirit every day to help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us our tongues and that you have power over our tongues. Lord God, we need your power to not boast. Lord, we boast very easily, but instead we want to be humble. We don't want to be destructive. We want to be constructive. We want to say things that are going to be helpful to listen to. Lord, we don't want to be cursing people. We want to be praising you and giving generous speech to others, Lord. And even in our thoughts, Lord, we want to be thinking kindly towards others. Lord, this is really hard for us. This is so difficult for us because our tongues are so easily setting off a spark that sets a whole forest on fire. So please help us this morning. for all of us to think before we speak. Even when we're having a tea and coffee now, Lord, we'll listen to that person and we'll think, you know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say something to bless them. Lord, with your help, you can carry us with this mindset through the whole of this week until we meet again next Sunday, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you so much, Neil. We did pray that God would use you powerfully today, and I for one know that he has, so thank you so much, and all challenged, all rebuked, all encouraged in so many different ways there. Thank you so much. Praise God for Neil. We're now going to sing a song, and we've been talking